Grace to you and peace this morning from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Today, I'd like to speak with you about God's ideas for country and nation and for our citizenship because we have been made citizens of two countries. We've been doing a series on being in the world but not of the world, and in the world, we are citizens of the country in which God has placed us, America. But we're also, and in truth, and ultimately, really, citizens of a better country, of heaven. That's the one that God has made us forever to be citizens of. And so I'd like to talk about God's ideas about country and nation today because, as I've heard from most of you, you seem to be struggling over the fear of our nation. And many of you are concerned about some of the things that are happening in it in recent days that you've seen on the news. I've heard you say that with the health care policy that's trying to be put through, that you're afraid that we might be turning into a socialist sort of country. Others, with the defense system, you're not sure whether we're standing up to our traditional enemies or whether we're caving before them. You also have the freedom of speech with the fairness doctrine that may be putting through. Are we still going to be able to preach freely and speak freely throughout our lifetimes, or will our words be censored? Also, you've heard recently, just in the last week, about gay rights being espoused and traditional marriage being put down, of abortion being put forward and sanctity of life being put down, and of extravagant spending, and also that over against what we would see as the need for financial thrift. And so, regardless of what your views on this are, a lot of people are up in arms about these kinds of things today. So I want to especially speak about this because on Wednesday night, I heard one of our members say that I fear, Pastor, that we're losing our country. Please pray for her, for I fear that we're losing her. And so I don't know if you feel that way, but whatever is the case, there's a lot of talk today about country and nation, but God has some talk for you today, too. Because if your hearts are unsettled, you're afraid of losing her, well, I got some good news for you today. Word of refreshment and where God wants to reset our hearts and minds on His kingdom. And so let's take a look then today at the ideas. What would God speak to you and what does God speak to you today through me concerning country, nation, and citizenship and those ideas? Well, the first thing he says to you today, through me, as his trumpet, is that if you're afraid of losing her, of losing your nation, settle your hearts on this truth. God says, I remind you today that I've made you citizens of a better country. That is, a heavenly one, which has foundations that shall never be shaken. A kingdom that cannot be lost. Is that where your heart is? Are you thrown this way and that like a wave on a troubled ocean? Well, settle your heart on this today. You are citizens of a country that can't fail. Heaven, God's heavenly country, Christ's kingdom. Let me show this to you in the scriptures. Isaiah 9 prophesied ahead of time of Jesus' kingdom that God would give him. And it says here, and you know this well, it says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Do you rejoice in that with me today? That you have a kingdom that God has promised from the foundation of the world, that is above all the kingdoms of the earth that can totter and fall, that are built upon shifting sand of the time, of sands of time. Yet you have a kingdom that God says, I'm going to start it, and I'm going to grow it in righteousness and justice, and it'll be forever. That's the kingdom God wants you to set your hearts on in your lives. Yes, love America, but your hearts should be set upon your heavenly country. That's who you really are. Citizens of a better country, of a heavenly one. This is what God's had in mind for ages and generations. And this is where the saints of old set their hearts and minds. Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 11. Did God promise a physical land to Abraham and to his descendants? Yes. But look where their hearts were. Okay? Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and the rest, these all died in faith. Not having received what was promised, but having seen it and greeted it from afar. And having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. For if they'd been thinking of that land from which they'd gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared for them a city. Do you think America's great? I think it's a great country to live in. Was Israel great? Well, it was a land flowing with milk and honey, right? Better than America in that sense. And yet, where were their hearts set? Were their hearts set on living in a patch of real estate in Palestine and ancient Israel? Even though God gave that land temporarily to them for a time, God's ultimate promise was of a heavenly country. And so it says here that they could have gone back to promise to Israel, Palestine area, if they'd wanted to. But Joseph was in Egypt. Abraham was out for a while, etc. But their hearts were not on the earthly country, but on the heavenly country. Where are your hearts today? You getting down in the mouth? Grim about the mouth? A damp, drizzly November in your soul over our country? Well, love our country. We'll talk about that more in a minute. But guess what? Your hearts, God says to you today, got to be set on a heavenly country that has foundations that cannot be shaken. And you've been made king, parts and citizens of this country by grace through Christ. Let's take a look at that then. How have you become members or citizens of this country? Because not everybody is. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, "Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called to uncircumcision by what's called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that at one time you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth or citizenship of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world." Sounds pretty bad and bleak, right? But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ. And he reconciled both Jews and Gentiles to God in one body through the cross, therefore bringing the hostility to an end. And he came and preached peace to those who were far off and to those who were near. So then, you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. So, where is your heart and mind today? Are you set on an earthly kingdom? Is your happiness dependent upon the fluctuating times of the shifting sands of this world? Yes, we'll talk about loving America, all right? I'm not dissing that. Is that the right word? Never used that word really before. The younger generation knows. But where's your heart? The saints of old, every one of God's people, God wants their hearts set on a heavenly country. That you are faithful to a king whom you cannot see, but who reigns and rules forever and ever, and of a better country. Is it really a better country? This one that God has called you to in Christ? Let's talk about that. What do we say in America? Life, what? Liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That sounds pretty good. I like that. Wonderful. But let's talk about our kingdom's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Life in this kingdom. Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Do you feel that life today? Are you afraid to die? Don't be afraid. You're citizens of a better country. Your king has conquered death for you. He's come to give you life. How about liberty? Which means freedom, right? Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For freedom, Christ has set us free." Free. And what kind of freedom is this? Paul says in Acts chapter 13, in Antioch of Pisidia, he preaches saying, "Let it be known to you, therefore, brethren, that through this man, Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him Everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Think about that. The world wants freedom. Everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin, slave of darkness, death, dominion of Satan. But Christ has come to set you free. You couldn't by your works save yourselves, but he laid down his life for you. This is the kind of kingdom he has. A king comes and says, kill me instead of them. And by his atoning blood has set you free. So that you are free from your sins, free from death and its power, free to live forever with him. How about happiness? Is Christian life a happy thing for you? It should be. If it isn't, then there's a dead monkey on the line somewhere. Here we go. Deuteronomy 33, verse 29. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like you? A people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your triumph. Your enemies shall come fawning to you, and you shall tread upon their high places. As it says also in Proverbs 16:20, he who gives heed to the word will prosper, and happy is he who trusts in the Lord. Psalm 16, thou dost show me the path of life. In thy presence there is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there is pleasure forevermore. Are you enjoying your Christian life? God wants you to. Not that everything you're going to enjoy in this life, difficulties, hardships, facing a foul enemy, a fiend, troubles with your own sinful flesh like we talked about last week, the two natures. But guess what? We have a lasting peace and a joy because we have a God who delights in you. Do you believe that today? Life, liberty, and happiness is what God gives us in his kingdom. And that not of a temporal nature, but of an eternal, imperishable kind, and which will grow and be seen on his day. So, Hebrews 12, let us therefore be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You can't lose this one, a kingdom that lasts forever in Christ. So, settle your hearts when you look at the news. Oh no, this is going wrong, that's going wrong. Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, aye. It's tiring after a while. I understand. I can get down in the mouth about that or depressed. But look, a heavenly country. Remind yourself, that's where saints have always set their hearts. On a heavenly country, citizenship. And we serve a king, paying tribute to him, honoring him, paying our taxes, our gifts, that is, to God in joy. Okay? Secondly, though, God's also made you citizens of an earthly country, United States of America. Let's talk about that. Should we love America too? Let me say, your hearts have got to be set on the kingdom to come, on Christ's heavenly kingdom. That's where our hearts of all the saints have been. But can we seek and love the welfare of this earthly, temporary America? Stars and stripes forever, amen. But guess what? It's not going to be forever, because every kingdom of this world will pass away. It's a shifting sand. Every kingdom. There's not been one that's lasted forever. We want to make America last as long as we can. Lift up liberty and justice and whatnot. But it will pass away. But our kingdom will never end in Christ. So comfort yourself with that. Let's take a look. How should we behave as Americans in the United States of America in these trying and troubling days? Jeremiah 29. God says to his people who went into exile in Babylon out of Israel. He says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give daughters your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there, do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare. And God cares about America? Do you think God cared about Babylon? It was a wicked nation. They didn't serve God. They weren't Christian. But God says, pray for them. Their welfare is your welfare. God cares about the sinful nations of the world. How about Jonah? Go to Nineveh. Was Nineveh a good country? Wasn't Israel. Wasn't Christian. Wasn't Jewish. It was an idol-worshipping nation. God had mercy on them, sent a prophet and said, preach to them because I care about these people. I don't want them to perish. What about America? Is it a Christian nation? Whoa, there's a question, right? power pack. A lot of people argue about this. Let's talk about that. President Barack Obama said this year in Turkey, he said, we do not consider ourselves a Christian nation. Do you agree or disagree? Well, let's talk more. He said in Egypt, we're one of the largest Muslim nations in the world. Now, he doesn't mean, I think, that we worship Allah, but there is a large contingent of Muslims who live in America. If you put them all together, they're greater than the number of Muslims in some small countries around the world, right? So let's give them fairness there about that. But America, is it a Christian nation? A lot of people want to say yes. They looked at the founding fathers. Isn't that great? Let's hearken back to the good old days of old. And actually, George Washington said, it's impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Amen? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Wouldn't that be great? God, Jesus, the Lord, Christianity, a city set on a hill, as Reagan said. That would be great. War of 1812, did God save our necks and our skins there? You heard about that one? The British came, marched into Washington, D.C., and burned the buildings. Burned our nation's capital. And while the flames are licking up our country's buildings, guess what happened? A hurricane appears out of nowhere in the middle of August, descends upon Washington, D.C. while the fires are burning and puts all the fires out, and then puts more havoc on the British regiment than our troops could do the day before when we were scattered like sheep upon the mountains. Has God blessed our nation? Yeah, War of 1812, I say so. We've abolished slavery at one time through much bloodshed. Temperance. We prohibited alcohol. From 1919 to 1933, Lutherans were not a part of that. Okay? We weren't. We were kind of against that. And it's not that we are against alcohol, as a nation, but because of the Christian movement and the Southern Baptist type of contingent, that religious element in our nation was trying to get rid of alcohol because they saw its evil and destruction. And so that was from 1919 to 1933, not long ago. Can you imagine that today? How about this? U.S. Supreme Court, 1892, in the Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States. You know what our Supreme Court actually said? They declared in their statement and judging of that, this is a Christian nation. They researched all the founding documents and said this is most certainly a Christian nation. Wow, can you imagine the Supreme Court saying that today? This is a Christian nation. We declare it by law and rule from the Supreme Court. Yeah, right. But I don't think they'd say that today. But we've had Christian principles in law, in schools, in Congress, in culture. So you could say, you can make a case, okay, America's a Christian nation, we should serve it in that behalf, but could I just as easily make the case no? I think I could. Let's go back to the founding fathers. How about Thomas Jefferson? He took his Bible, and what did he do? Took scissors and cut out all the pieces that were supernatural and he didn't agree with. And he made his own Jefferson Bible, it's called, which only had morals left in it. And he took out all the offensive words of Jesus and his supernatural signs. That doesn't sound very Christian to me. He's one of the founding fathers, and there were others. How about this? Vice President Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton, the Secretary of the Treasury. You think we got trouble in Washington today? Bickering from the Democrats and the Republicans. Can you work across the aisle? You know how they worked across the aisle? Burr said to Hamilton, let's go out and shoot each other. And he did. He killed them. Hamilton died. The Secretary of the Treasury was killed by the Vice President. 1804, Founding Fathers. Doesn't sound too Christian to me, that part. And we did have slavery, which is an evil, even though the Bible says, gives rules for within slavery, how to treat your slaves justly and fairly, and for slaves to serve their masters, remembering what? That they have a heavenly country, and that's what's really, there's a judgment, and everybody's equal in God's eyes. But we had slavery, which was evil and abused. We had also breaking of treaties with Indians. We've had all kinds of sins, really, in our nation. From the beginning, though, really more behind closed doors. Now we got TV. Thanks. Isn't that wonderful? We can see it every day behind closed doors. The worst of our country and culture, living in Hollywood, putting out trash for you to feed your eyes upon. So you could say, on the one hand, okay, a Christian nation. On the other hand, you could say, man, if you're going to know them by their fruits, not a Christian nation. Let me tell you my perspective on this. I believe it's the right one. I say America's not a Christian nation. But I say this, that what has made America great is that inside the United States of America has been living another nation called the church, which belongs to another heavenly country that has been very strong in the United States of America since its foundation. And the Christians have sought their best to elect godly leaders, to elect to have godly principles in the laws and in the schools. We've sought to lift up those things which are right and just, to proclaim liberty to people, equal, fair share, built upon Christian foundational principles and the Ten Commandments. Yes, and we even had since 1864, "In God we trust" on our coins. Why? Because it's a democracy, not a kingdom, and we can elect and get done what we want to do. And because there's been another nation called the church, belonging to a heavenly country, living in this earthly kingdom of the United States of America, our democracy, our kingdom maybe in the days ahead here, then that's what's made America great. And Jesus said, are you going to look for the kingdom coming with great signs? I tell you, the kingdom of God does not come with signs to be observed, for the kingdom of God is where? In the midst of you. He says it's like leaven, which a woman takes and hides in a measure of a loaf and then until the whole loaf is leavened. And this Christian nation is not living only in the United States of America, but all the countries of the world. God is placing the leaven of his gospel and growing our brothers and sisters, our fellow citizens, our fellow saints in the kingdom of God, and every sprouting up in every country of the world, growing, leavening the earth. And so you may ask, what should we do? As Christians, if we're fear of losing our earthly country, then what we got to do then is let our light shine in this country. Because God didn't have you born in Kazakhstan. He had you born in America because he wants you to pray for her welfare. He wants you to love her Purple Mountain's majesty, love her liberty and freedom, and preserve this free speech and these good things that I can preach here and not be stoned or killed by the government. We ought to love what God has blessed this nation with, and so seek its welfare, pray for its leaders, pay your taxes, be subject to every governing authority, honor the emperor, Peter says. Who was the emperor in those days? Was he a real fantastic guy? Let's invite him over and have a beer. Oh, no, temperance unit. No. No. Nero, do you want to have Nero over? He killed his mom. He assassinated his brother. I think he killed most of his wives. And in the end, he killed himself. But Peter says, honor the emperor. Remember Paul in Acts chapter, I think it's 23? Let me read that. And getting toward the conclusion here. Stay with me, okay? Look at this. Acts chapter 23. Because I've heard some of you, and you know, I've been tempted myself to diss, there I've used it twice, our president, because you disagree with some things. But I want you to know you've got to honor him because of the position he has and speak well of him. Even you can voice your disagreements, but you got to honor him because look at this. The high priest, Ananias, commanded those who stood by Paul to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, to the high priest, God shall strike you, you whitewashed wall. And then he says, are you sitting in judgment to judge me according to the law, and yet contrary to the law you order me to be struck? Those who stood by said, would you revile God's high priest? And Paul said, I did not know, brethren, that it was the high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. Notice that. Did the guy deserve it? Was he a whitewashed wall? Yeah. He didn't have anything commendable about him. But when Paul learned he's the high priest, he steps back and says, sorry, didn't know he's the high priest that I was talking to. I'm going to honor him, for I'll not speak evil of a ruler of my people. Amen. Can you guys do that as Christians? You may not disagree with all your elected leaders, but they have been placed in positions of authority. They are maintaining good and justice, even maybe not as best as we would think they should, but honor the president. Honor your leaders. And be careful. We ought not to speak evil of them, but love them, pray for them, help them, and do good in our communities in every way. And here's where our great hope is, though. We love America. We want it to live. But come on, are you pilgrims? Have you left England, so to speak, and you're in the midst of the sea heading toward the new world, the promised land, where is your every hope and dream? You didn't follow that, did you? Okay, you did. Well, it didn't sound like it, but all right, come on. We have left sin, the old world. We are pilgrims on the boat on the way to the new world. Let's do our job to take good care of the boat while we're going, but we're not setting our hearts on that. Our hearts are set on the new kingdom, the new world to come. When we touch shore in our Father's heavenly kingdom, that's our citizenship. That's our country that we're heading to. And that should be where your hearts are. So don't get down in the mouth about an earthly kingdom or your struggles upon a boat. Of course it's tough. And every kingdom of this earth is on shifting sand or on the waves-tossed, tempest-filled ocean. But our hearts are on a kingdom and a sure shore that is steadfast, stable, ordered in all things and secure, peaceful. And we have a kingdom that we love. And why do we love it? Because we have a king who loves you. And Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And our king, your king, Jesus, through whom you were made, the ruler of all creation, has laid down his life for you on the cross, shed his blood. That's what his kingdom's about. That kind of love. And that's the kingdom that you've been made a part. So let's conclude with this word, rejoicing in our King while we yet fight for the help of the nations into which God has called us. Here's the final word. Revelation 1, verse 5. To him who loves us, Jesus, and has freed us from our sins, freed us by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Glory and dominion, Jesus. Amen.